Before we get into today's podcast, I want to offer you a powerful free resource. Many Christians have been taught that the goal of our faith is to simply leave earth and go up to heaven. But what if that's not the full story? In his remarkable book, God's Homecoming, N.T. Wright traces the sweeping biblical promise that God is not abandoning this world, he is renewing it. From Genesis to Revelation, Scripture tells the story not of us going up to God, but of God coming down to dwell with us. We're offering you a free digital excerpt so you can explore this hope-filled vision for yourself. Download it today at premierinsight.org/resources. That's premierinsight.org/resources. And now, here's today's podcast.
C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Thank you for listening to the show that brings you the thought and theology of C.S. Lewis with me, Ruth Jackson. Discover more about Lewis by visiting premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, resources, and podcasts. And you can also register there for the chance to win a free book. If you enjoy listening to the C.S. Lewis Podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it. But now for today's show.
What you are about to hear was recorded in front of a live audience at Wycliffe Hall in Oxford, where I was joined by Professor Alistair McGrath.
Do you think there's anything Lewis would say to the challenges that we're navigating around misinformation and post-truth in a digital age?
Well, I think we are faced with a very strange world. I can remember, the issue of Time magazine, and on the front of that is God dead? You know, and you may know that quite recently they did another front page, is Truth dead? Because again, it's not just the concern that people seem to be a bit nervous about truth, but actually people did not want it to be a live option. And I think that the real issue here is that very often if there is no truth, then there are powerful opinions which can be imposed on people. And I think that that's one of the things we're seeing here at Oxford, where very often people feel that they're almost under pressure to accept certain things that they do not believe to be right, but nevertheless, social pressure is very, very difficult to resist. And I think that Lewis's hope would be that one day the time will come when you break free from this and discover that things actually are very, very different. But the difficulty is that very often we are trapped in ways of thinking, which is very, very difficult to break free from because of social pressure. And I think Lewis would say to us, there is a better way, and maybe the time will come when you can actually find that.
And in an era that is largely dominated by social media filters, carefully curated personas, what do you think Lewis would teach us about pursuing genuine authenticity?
Well, Lewis, I think, was quite critical of this trend towards social media. I think you might be able to see some of its advantages, but I think the concern is it's self-referentiality. In other words, you are choosing which echo chamber you belong to. You are choosing the people you talk to. You are limiting yourself to only certain curated viewpoints. And you begin to feel, hey, this is the way things really are, but it's not. It's simply the limited range of options you yourself have chosen to represent it. Now, in his autobiography, Surprised by Joy, Lewis talks about why going to Magdalen College was so important. And one of the things he mentions is that there were fellows there who were really sharp, really interesting. And it was by talking to them that he would, in effect, find out which his ideas were not going to survive. And in other words, stepping outside his bubble and talking to other people. And so I guess maybe one thing that Lewis might say to us in our situation is that we need sometimes to be friends to people who are trapped within an echo chamber, trapped within an ideological bubble, and in effect be the pathway to a different way of thinking. So I think that's an important point that we might just bear in mind.
Alistair, we've recorded a whole series on science and technology, so we may repeat ourselves, but they're important questions, so let's just go for it. What are some of the concerns, do you think, that Lewis had about scientific advancement and modern technology? Obviously, he was writing at a different time to us, but a lot of it is still incredibly.
Well, I think Lewis's chief concern was this. Human beings are extremely good at messing things up. And therefore, if you invent wonderful new devices which can serve as weapons, for example, then what's going to happen is that we will use them badly and make this world a much worse place. But something deeper going on here, and Lewis does talk about this a bit in Achilles' Strength, but it's this fear, a very significant fear, that by taking certain technological steps, we are in effect changing things irreversibly. So if we have made a mistake, we can't undo it. Now, as I'm sure you know, Lewis published that book on 13th of August 1945. And the book really secured a very enthusiastic readership. And it's partly because in the first days of August, there were two atomic bombs in Japan. And people really were frightened that what is this? Are we ready for this? Can we control this? Are we entering a new era in human history, which we might regret having ever entered? In other words, technology can do things that we're not really ready for. So I think that's one of Lewis's main concerns, that we have not reached intellectual and social maturity to be able to deal with some of these possibilities that technology allows us to do.
And in many ways, that Hilliard's Strength, it is a sort of fiction version of the abolition of man. So if you struggle with the abolition of man, maybe read that Hilliard's Strength. So what can we learn from some of Lewis's critiques about today's rapidly evolving technology? Because we're even further on than he was in terms of technology.
Well, it's very interesting to compare Lewis and Tolkien here. I mean, Tolkien, I think, was really quite critical of technology in general. The Hobbits are very simple people who just use very simple tools to dig up the ground. But I think Tolkien's real hostility to technology was because of the First World War, where he saw what technology was doing in terms of creating mass destruction. And something very similar is happening there with Lewis, you know, that he's seen what can happen with this. And I think that really, if I'm put it like this, Lewis is navigating a very difficult boundary, which is, this is not good, but actually isn't this inevitable? And how on earth do we navigate that boundary? I think Lewis's answer really is, with reluctance, we can't really change the situation, but we can make sure we are aware of what we are doing when we let ourselves go down this particular road.
With the rise of things like artificial intelligence and genetic modification, it raises all sorts of ethical questions around the nature of humanity, what it means to be human. What do you think Lewis would say about what it means to be human? And obviously he wasn't dealing with the issues we're dealing with, but how would he apply some of his thoughts to these modern issues?
Well, I think Lewis is very, very emphatic that to be truly human is to relate to God, and therefore if that is broken, then we've lost our way altogether. Now, obviously, all people would say, well, that's your view, Lewis, and we don't agree with it. But I think in making this point, Lewis is actually opening up some very important conversational gambits. And one of the points I think that Lewis is making is that human beings are very good at not accepting the way things are and changing them after their own image. And so if you look at a very interesting debate in AI at the moment, one of the questions is, it is very, very clear that if you are trying to develop a different way of thinking and involves programming, then very often the personal views of the programmer affect the outcome of the whole thing. You know, and that's a very important point because there's a very large literature about the biases involved in programs which are racial, they are gendered, you know, and I think that one of the things that Lewis might encourage us to think about is whether we have paid enough attention to the fact that, in effect, what we now think of as AI is actually a particular form of intelligence which has been set up by certain people with vested interests in mind and with certain definite views of what the right answers are. Are we therefore, in effect, locking ourselves into a way of thinking about these things which cannot be undone? Because if AI takes over, have we lost that particular debate?
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
We're going to take a quick break now, but if you are enjoying today's show, please do consider rating it and leaving a review on your podcast platform so that other people can discover it too.
We often hear that science has made belief in God unnecessary, but has it? This month, we're offering an exclusive ebook titled Beyond the Cosmos: Physics, Philosophy, and the God Question. Drawn from two compelling, unbelievable dialogues, it explores cosmic fine-tuning, the limits of scientific explanation, the Kalam argument, reductionism, morality, and even questions about time and extraterrestrial life. It's thoughtful, rigorous, and refreshingly even-handed. When you give support to Premier Insight, we'll send you this ebook as our thank you. Visit premierinsight.org/CS Lewis to request your copy today. That's premierinsight.org/CS Lewis.
The C.S. Lewis Podcast with Alistair McGrath.
Welcome back to the show. We would love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Do get in touch on social media at Premier Unbelievable. Now let's return to the conversation.
Well, and I guess one of the areas where biotech has really improved is in the areas of animal research. And that was obviously something CHS felt quite passionate about. How would he respond to some of the ethical dilemmas that we're facing today around animal research?
Well, I think Lewis was a very vigorous opponent of not just research of animals, but above all, vivisection. Vivisection went on in Oxford, as you may know. If any of you walk down to the examination schools in Oxford High Street, you'll see it was now the Ruskin School of Art. I think it was then, but that used to be where vivisection was done. And John Ruskin, who himself heard the animals being vivisected, said in his I can't stand this. Lewis's argument is this: if human beings are higher than the animals, they have responsibilities towards them, not abusing them, always treating them with respect as God's creatures. And so Lewis actually became quite an aggressive opponent of vivisection. I think he was right to do so. But he also, it wasn't just a sort of feeling this bad. It's a deep sense that if God has placed us in this position of responsibility, we need to act responsibly. And that means, in effect, thinking very, very hard about the way we treat lower aspects of the created order.
One area that has sort of changed the way we do lots of things today is virtual reality. And obviously, Lewis used fictional worlds in order to explore deep truth. So, obviously, he didn't have virtual reality, but do you think he would have anticipated any potential benefits or pitfalls of using these technologies in order to explore different worlds?
Well, in recent years, there's been a lot of research about the use of what is called cosmopoiesis in the Renaissance, the creation of universes, the creation of alternative visions of reality. And people have made the point that many Renaissance novels are creating new worlds, not simply out of artistic interest, but because these allow them to explore certain fundamental moral and existential questions by letting them take place in a different world. I think what one of the things that Lewis is doing really is, in his own fiction, is to make it easy for us to deal with certain difficult questions by othering them, by in effect placing them in a world that's clearly not ours, and we can then begin to see what the questions are, and then only afterwards begin to realise in our world this might affect things that we take for granted and they might not be right. So if you like, Lewis is very good at using literary devices like this generation of mental universes to help us think through how things might work out. And I think that is important because it really makes it easy for us to do this. I mean, I think of Lewis's famous description of the Chronicles of Narnia. If God came incarnate in the lion, how would that work out? Let's create a world and tell a story about it.
Thank you.
I suppose related to that then is the idea of how we engage meaningfully and safely in the digital world. Because you mentioned that he would write by hand and didn't use a typewriter, but he obviously did engage with some of that modern technology. He did his radio broadcasts, which obviously became mere Christianity. So how would he say that we can and should engage meaningfully but safely in this digital age?
Well, I'm not sure Lewis gives us a direct answer, but what I would say is this. Looking at his response to the broadcast talks, Lewis was much happier writing books, and so turning him into a book was great pleasure for him. But nevertheless, he was aware that this technology, which he distrusted and didn't really like a lot, which actually did have certain benefits. I think one of the things that Lewis would maybe say to us is the medium may not be ideal, but does it make it possible for you to do some things that otherwise could not be done? So if you like, for example, it's all about risk assessment, it's all about trying to identify the benefits among adults. I think that one of the reasons why there are so many Christian podcasters today is that actually Lewis has pioneered this idea of broadcast talks in the sense of dispersing these ideas in formats that are readily accessible and can be listened to when people want to. So I think there's a certain sense in which Lewis has paved the way a little bit for us here, even though we know he much preferred writing to speaking.
Mm. Just as we're finishing off around technology, do you think C.S. Lewis would be on Instagram today?
I don't really know. I honestly don't know. I mean, Lewis, if you look at Lewis's letters, some of them are very, very short, but most of them are extended pieces of reflection. I wonder if Lewis could have coped with what used to be called Twitter, where you have relatively limited word counts to be able to deal with. Lewis, I think, wanted to be able to develop his ideas as they deserved, and having to compact them for digital media would have been a challenge to him. And also he would say, I can't do it properly, and therefore maybe I'm not going to do it at all.
And you probably need a computer to do that. So, if he was on Instagram, he would need a mobile phone. Do we have any idea on what he would make of mobile phones and modern technology that is in your pocket?
We don't know. Lewis read some science fiction, and there were anticipations of personal communication devices in the 1940s. But I'm not sure if Lewis really picks this up. So I think if Lewis were to walk through those doors, I think he might be a little bit baffled. But I think we have to learn from this. Very often we can master technology, but sometimes technology masters us and means we don't use it very well. Twitter is a very good example, I think.
There's a really interesting quote as well in The Abolition of Man, which I think probably could be applied to mobile phones today, which says, it's talking about the next generation, us making technology for the next generation. The next generation are weaker, not stronger, for though we may have put wonderful machines in their hands, we have preordained how they are to use them. And I think that applies to all sorts of modern technology, doesn't it? In terms of genetic modification, in terms of mobile phones, actually, in some ways, we're often not thinking about the impact on future generations, and that was something Lewis clearly.
One of the most important themes in the abolition work of man is how important relating to other human beings is in keeping us human. I think the danger is we are substituting humans mediated indirectly through technology to having direct engagement with human beings. Because in kind of conversations you and I are having, we interact with each other, we can talk about things, whereas technology really doesn't have that flexibility. I agree with what would be uneasy.
That was Professor Alistair McGrath and I in front of a live audience at Wycliffe Hall in Oxford.
Thank you for listening to the C.S. Lewis podcast with me, Ruth Jackson. Many of the topics that we've touched on today are discussed in greater detail on earlier episodes of the programme. Check out our archive of past shows at premierunbelievable.com, where you can also find lots of great articles, videos and podcasts. Plus, if you register on our website or sign up for our newsletter there, then you will get exclusive access to new content, free resources and more. That's premierunbelievable.com. What did you think of today's show? Are there any topics or works of C.S. Lewis that you would like us to explore next? We would love to hear from you. Send us an email, unbelievable@premier.org.uk. Connect with us on X, formerly known as Twitter, @premierunbelievablefe,
or drop us a direct message on Instagram or Facebook at PremierUnbelievable. We have also recently launched on TikTok, so if that's your thing, or you know anyone else who might be interested, then you can find us there at premier.unbelievable. Your feedback and thoughts are so important to us, so please get in touch. If you're enjoying the C.S. Lewis podcast, please do consider rating and reviewing it on whatever platform you're listening on, as it helps more people to discover the show. Thank you for listening, and see you next time.